You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Hey, have you got your tea?
I have my vanilla honey tea.
Fantastic. Yum. Isn't it great to come home to this nice, quiet house with the subdued lighting and all the pretty Christmas lights on in the house? I just love it.
Yep. Love the decorations. It just is just makes you feel really warm and cozy.
It does. How about to start out with some exciting news?
Okay.
NASA and the InSight Mars lander, which just landed this week, has already beamed back its first amazing pictures of the Martian surface.
Dirt.
Well, yeah, dirt and rocks. but come on. You know what I love about this story? This reminds me of the 1960s and early 70s where there was a race to the moon. And President Kennedy at the time, you know, we just went past his 55th anniversary of his tragic assassination. But Kennedy said, we will put a man on the moon by the end of this decade. And we did. And there was a race into space. Now, after many years of NASA kind of subsiding, it's back in the news. They spent $828 million on this Martian landing vehicle that is going to be doing all sorts of experiments, and it took 6 months to travel 30 million miles. And I watched the animation of it going through the Mars atmosphere, and it lands on the Martian surface, and it's got giant balloons all around it, you know, these Mylar, giant Mylar type balloons, and it bounces all over the place so the vehicle won't get wrecked. And then it lands on its feet, which is incredible, and the balloons deflate and the device opens up and it starts spreading all of its array of solar panels to get battery power, okay. And all of a sudden, cameras up and all sorts of stuff going on.
It's fascinating that it can go that far in space. I mean, that distance is unfathomable to me. To get there in 6 months, it's amazing. And then the last that I really had looked at it was, you know, when it was just going to go through those 10 minutes or however long.
Oh, 7 minutes. Seven minute descent.
Yeah, the really bad part.
Right, where it could burn up.
Yeah, well, if they didn't know if it would make it. So then I saw that it made it, and I thought that that was very exciting. And I do think it's amazing. And, you know, President Obama, he didn't really believe in our space program so much, so he really cut it back. And President Trump really believes in it, even made a whole new
Space Force proposal. Well, you know, the difference between President Obama and what the United States was like just a couple of years ago in compared to President Trump is remarkable, because our economy is booming instead of languishing. And so now we can afford to do these experiments. Now, one of the cool things that the InSight Mars lander is going to do is apparently it's got a drill, and it's going to drill 15 feet down into the Mars surface. And we're going to find out all sorts of things from that, from the different layers of rock, strata, dirt, what have you, if there's any signs of life, any signs of water. And I think if you go down 15 feet, you're going to learn a lot.
Oh, I agree. It's going to be fascinating to watch and see what happens. That being said, I have no desire to go to Mars or the moon or anywhere else but Earth.
I agree with you. But, of course, Americans made it, right? They built it, and they're making it work. And I just think it's exciting to get back into space and do some very interesting things, hopefully that will help us into the future. So, And now I've got another story that I want to talk with you about.
Okay.
And that is a story that comes right here out of Texas. And it's a story about a father that's divorced, and he is sharing a joint custody of the couple's six-year-old child, who is a boy, with his ex-wife, and she has filed a restraining order and, I believe, a lawsuit because she believes that the kid is transgender and wants to dress the boy up like a girl. And what is interesting about this is that when the boy is with the dad without any prompting from him at all, he doesn't want to dress in girls' clothes. He doesn't want to do girly things. He wants to be a little man and dress in boys' clothes. So she took this kid to a psychologist, child psychologist. I don't know whether board certified or whatever. And the psychologist said that this kid has transgender dysphoria.
Well, that doesn't even make sense for a six-year-old. A six-year-old doesn't have the first clue about that. And statistics show that kids who have these kinds of inclinations at this age tend to outgrow them. So to say something as final as that and to go as far as trying to have a judge actually take the father's rights away from seeing his own son because he will not dress him as a girl. Now, he doesn't refuse him if he wants to dress as a girl.
No, that's absolutely correct. He has girls' clothes there and guys' clothes. And he says, I leave it up to my son. And every single time, without exception, the kid has always wanted to be referred to as a boy, dress like a boy, and act like a boy.
However, at the mother's house, the boy dresses like a girl.
So where do you think that's coming
from? Yeah, there's something really wrong here that is niggling in my brain about, it wouldn't be the same thing, but akin to Munchausen
syndrome,
where a parent is purposefully making their child ill so that they get sympathy. There's something wrong with this to me. If the child was consistent one way, then, you know, we could think about it. But the child's not consistent one way.
Well, you know, going back to my forensic psych days with this whole transgender issue and this dysphoria issue, which is, you know, of course, a psychological problem, there are some symptoms of that. And I can tell already that the way the kid acts, meaning when he's with his dad, he wants to be referred to as a boy, he wants to act like a boy and dress like a boy, that does not meet the elements of transgender dysphoria. If you have transgender dysphoria, it's actually the opposite way. You want to be referred to as one gender or the other, you want to dress as one gender or the other, you want to act like one gender or the other, and this is not that. So I'd really like to know what kind of board certification this so-called child psychologist had. But you know what, Linda, this is the thing that bothers me even more, because this is a very slippery slope. The government should not be involved in these issues. And I think a reporter, I was watching One American News, that's right, got this story from to talk with you about tonight, but I thought the reporter who dealt a lot with psychological issues said it right. And it was a female. And she said, you know what? When I was 6 years old, I wanted to be Batman. Okay.
Yeah, well,
so doesn't that just give you an idea? Here's a kid that's not even old enough to cross the street unaccompanied. And so, you know, where does this come from? Does it come from the kid or does it come from the mom?
Well, and I have so many questions about, does the mom only show the boy positive reinforcement and love when he's dressed like a girl?
Right.
Did the mom want a girl and got a boy? I mean, there's just something really wrong with this story, and something even more wrong with the government getting involved. And, you know, I'm no psychologist, but I used to live across the street from two of them. And I will tell you that they are not always the best at what they do. Some of them are pretty psycho themselves. And you can find you know, always on any case of anything, two psychologists who will give you completely opposite opinions. And you know that in the job that you have. All the time we see it, that there are different, completely different opinions.
Well, you know, as a person that does have, you know, a partial degree in psychology, I would tell you, in forensic psych, I would tell you that if psychologists are honest with you, they will tell you that psychology is half medicine and half art.
Well, okay? I'm sure it is.
And that's why you can't find two psychologists to agree. It's very rare.
And the ones who lived across the street from me, they were sex therapist psychologists, and they ended up both getting arrested. So, I mean, you know, they're not always right. And I think that this case needs a whole lot more looking into. I feel terribly bad for the father and the son both.
Well, one more thing, okay, since I'm starting off our coffee conversation tonight.
Our tea conversation.
Thank you. is about President Trump threatening to shut down the border. What are your feelings?
Oh, I am all for it. And you know what? I think a lot of Americans don't realize when we talk about this, shutting down the border is kind of a big deal because there are not even hundreds, thousands of people who cross that border both ways each and every day for their jobs. And some of our relatives are some of those people that cross the border because they do sales or they sell things to some of the companies there in the Tijuana area or the Mexico area. And vice versa, there are people that come over the border because Mexico has things like plants, and of all different types that make things that we use day in and day out. So there are people representing companies on both sides of the borders that go back and forth and conduct business between the countries, and that will all be shut down.
Okay, so you just raised a good subject here, and I have a question for you, because in your business, you are brokering with all sorts of manufacturers mm-hmm. all over
all
the world.
All kinds of countries.
And mm-hmm. does that include Mexico?
It does.
And so how would shutting down the border affect you with respect to you getting your product to your clients?
You know, for me, it wouldn't affect me a lot unless I happen to have ordered a product that is one of those products that's made in Mexico. And there's not that many in the ones that I deal with. But there are factories that I work with who do get their products from Mexico. So if I was going to place an order with that company, I probably wouldn't be able to get the product right then. And, you know, that could happen with any of the countries. But the thing is, I don't mind shutting down the border, and actually would be all for shutting down the border to prevent these people from invading America. They can't win, because if they win on this, we will be inundated with many, many, many more.
Well, I firmly believe, and I've written about it, we'll be done as a country. You know, it just will be done.
No, I agree.
Because, you know, today there was a statistic out, and they said they weren't even sure about this statistic, that there's an estimated 22 million illegal aliens in the United States. And, you know, we've heard that number way dumbed down to like 11 or 12 million. That's not true at all.
Well, we've heard all the numbers dumbed down, yeah. And they know what the real numbers are, but they won't report them.
No, because the numbers are too scary.
And the other thing that's happening now, because of this situation in Tijuana, and I feel terribly bad for those people there in Tijuana, is that now they are becoming ill with illnesses that are not normal for them to have in Mexico.
That's exactly right. They're getting diseases. We just heard some doctors talk about these outbreaks that they have not experienced in Tijuana before, and it is undoubtedly because of the temporal relationship, right? You know, these people suddenly got there, and then now within a week, within 2 weeks, now there's an outbreak of different diseases that they haven't seen, you know, for many, many years. All of a sudden, they're back. It has to be coming from people that are from Central America that are not vetted, that have come up into Mexico with these diseases on board, and now the Mexicans are experiencing that. And what worries me about that, and it always does, we had a conversation about this before, is if those people sneak over into the United States, we'll have outbreaks of these diseases that we haven't had for decades. We already talked about typhus. Mm-hmm. We've got that now in Los Angeles. We've talked about polio. God, we haven't had polio since the 50s when we all took our little sugar cube vaccines. Now all these diseases are back.
Well, and this is what America really needs to be thinking about, and they're not. It's a big problem. America needs to understand that when they have unchecked immigration into our country, that these diseases will happen. And, you know, just look back in history. It wasn't that long ago, Ron, that we had Ellis Island. And what did they do? They checked everybody's health.
They quarantined them?
And,
yes, they did.
They had something like tuberculosis or some disease, they were not allowed in.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that? There is nothing wrong with that.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. I wanted to ask you one more question about shutting things down. So what do you think about President Trump's threat to shut down the government if the Congress doesn't fund the wall?
I'm all for that. I think the shutting down the government, we make such a big deal about it, and I don't think it's a big deal. But because the things that really need to be funded are funded, and so you can't get in a national park or some things, you know, don't happen. Nothing critical is going to happen to anybody. So I think that he should do it. I think he should do every single thing he can possibly do to get that wall built.
I'm going to join in with you because I'm a huge proponent of shutting that government down, because like you said, the essential services, they're mandated by Congress that, you know, those things are not going to shut down. The VA, Medicare, Social Security,
sure,
you know, all of the entitlements are not going to be shut down. But I'll tell you what, we need to do that, because this is a do-nothing Congress on both sides. This crap needs to stop. And President Trump keeps trying to show the Republicans how to be strong and how to deal from a position of strength and be good negotiators against the Democrats to move America forward. And the Republicans, the Mitch McConnells and these different, you know, the Paul Ryans and these idiots keep giving in to the Democrats. And that needs to stop. This country will never move forward unless we get stronger and put our foot down.
Absolutely.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
There's a lot of news today that really is of interest to me, so I'm going to do one of my potpourris.
Okay, go ahead.
So we're going to go from one thing to another. First of all, congratulations to Cindy Hyde Smith for winning the election in Mississippi and becoming the 53rd senator on the Republican side. So that's good news for us. The other piece of good news about that is that she is the first woman ever to be a senator in Mississippi. And guess what? We don't hear from any of the women out there congratulating her. So I guess it's only the Democratic women that they congratulate, but nobody's congratulating Cindy Hyde Smith. But I'm congratulating her. I will also congratulate Nancy Pelosi for, again, being the Speaker of the House. I wish that she would have been not the Speaker of the House, but, you know, I actually understand why President Trump wants her to be Speaker of the House, because he feels like it's in his favor for her.
Well, she's the poster child of stupidity. Yeah. So I totally get, you know, the thing that gets me is I'm sorry, Nancy. Okay. But I've just got to be honest here. She has a problem stringing two sentences together. All right. I'm sorry. That's how you know where you've been in office a little bit too long and you need to move out of the way. But I really do believe that is a power thing with not just female politicians, but with all politicians. They just don't want to leave.
No.
But you got to hand it to her. You know, she wields that gavel, and I guess within her own caucus, she can sure crack that whip and, you know, threaten and cajole and connive and convince these Democrats to keep her as the Speaker of the House. So, you know, if you're going to congratulate someone, you might as well congratulate someone that acts like Machiavelli.
Well, and, you know, she's getting up there in age. She's 78 or 79 years old. So, you know, I mean, I would have liked to seen a new generation come in, and why they voted the way they did, I have no idea.
Well, we'll see where it goes, and it's an interesting scheme for President Trump, and let's see what Nancy and Chuck Schumer do in the House.
Well, and Barbara Lee, who's 72 years old, and she's a black congressman, she had a position leading the Democratic caucus, and she has lost it to a younger candidate who is a male, also black. And, you know, now she's blaming ageism and sexism. So I guess that there's always an ism to blame for everything. Every time that you don't succeed at something, there's somebody else to blame. It couldn't be that this guy might be a new breath of fresh air for them. Couldn't be that maybe she wasn't doing her job very well. I don't know. But it's always something or somebody else to blame, isn't it?
Well, you know, I don't know how you can reconcile that when you get Nancy Pelosi, who's older than Barbara Lee, and she gets reelected to the position of, you know, Speaker of the House. And could it just simply be that Barbara Lee just didn't have enough votes in her column and she's out? And it's just as simple as that. She didn't lose her congressional seat. She just lost her committee seat.
Well, and she did. And people wanted new, fresh blood in there. And the guy who got it is 48 years old. So I can absolutely understand that. We've been clamoring for new people to be able to take over in those positions. That's one reason I'm not happy about Pelosi being reelected. But, you know, it is what it is, so you know, that's what we deal with.
Well, speaking about people that have been there forever that we don't like and I think are absolutely destroying this country is Chuck Schumer. Have you been paying attention to him? And, you know, he was on the House floor just yesterday railing against President Trump. And I believe the quote that he said was, President Trump, he said to the people very condescendingly, like he always is, pedantic and condescending. He goes, when are you guys, meaning people in his own house, right, the Democrats, mm-hmm, when are you guys going to wise up and understand that President Trump is nothing but a lying politician and he has not come through on any of his promises?
Yeah, and that right there is a lying politician. Chuck Schumer is one of the people that I respect the least in all of politics. I think that every word that comes out of his mouth is an untruth, and it's despicable to have anybody in a leadership position that lies as much as that man does.
You know, we could take two sheets of legal paper and write down all of President Trump's campaign promises from the 2016 election and compare those to his accomplishments, and I think it would fill up both sides of both pieces of paper.
Well, and let's compare that to any of Chuck Schumer's accomplishments.
None.
Right.
None.
So, yeah, that's sad. But, you know, another thing that is kind of sad is that Melania Trump, who I just think is the epitome of elegance and grace, and she represents our country extremely well. She decorated the White House, and the media is saying all kinds of terrible, bad things about it, especially the one hallway in the entire house that has red trees to signify freedom, right?
Is that and patriotism.
And patriotism. Okay.
Right.
The if anybody would take the time and look at the decorations throughout the White House, they are absolutely stunning.
You know, it's interesting because I took a break during lunch today, and I did see that article about the criticism, and they had about 20 pictures of the Christmas decorations in the White House, and they were just amazing. They were absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it made our tree look pretty bad.
Well, we don't have 30 servants putting our trees together.
No. But anyway, it is gorgeous. And why they have to just beat this woman up day in and day out, I don't know. But another thing about Melania is that she just did a speech on the opioid addiction in our country. And some of the figures that she mentioned were stunning, Ron, that we have 130 deaths a day from opioids in our country.
You know, I worked on the statistics on that because I am just aware of our drug epidemic, being a criminologist. And so here are some facts and figures for you, Linda. At 130 people a day and a 365-day year, that's 47,450 people. But I looked up from the Center on Drug Control, and in 2017, there were 72,000 drug overdose deaths. 72,000. And of those, 30,000 were solely attributed to fentanyl.
Okay.
I can't even fathom
that. I know.
And
it's such a dangerous drug.
And in 2016, just deaths, overdose deaths, opioid epidemic attributed to fentanyl, 19,400. So if we lost 130 people a day in anything, the Congress and the Senate would be up in arms. I mean, we'd have the military deployed, for God's sakes.
Well, let's just take the military, as you just said. In the entire war that we have been fighting in the Middle East, we have lost, I believe, 2,200.
Oh, no, no. We've lost, I mean, going back to 9/11.
Okay, there's a time
it's been at least 6,000.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's take 6,000. It's been 2,200 in a certain time period because yes, that's what I had heard. But let's take 6,000. We are talking 40,000 a year. A year.
Well, you know
In opioid overdoses. Does anybody not get where these drugs are coming from? And the fentanyl is coming, a lot of it from China.
I'm sorry, China. Fentanyl is coming from China. You know what? Let me give you a better analogy if you're going to talk about wars. Okay, the war in Vietnam lasted about 15 years. And in that war in Vietnam, we lost a little over 58,000 American military personnel.
That was
over
a 58,000. Horrible tragedy.
And in 2017, 72,000. So in 1 year, we lose more people in the opioid crisis and drug overdose nationwide than we lost during the entire period of the Vietnam War. And here's something that's interesting. The statistics that go from 2002 to 2017 indicated a threefold increase of drug overdose deaths. Three times what we'd lost last year in the United States on drug overdoses is three times what we lost back in 2002.
Well, and one of the reasons is because the concentrations of the drugs are changing so much, and they're becoming a lot more dangerous.
Yes.
And the honestly, in my opinion, in the Obama years, we had such a free flow across our border of people and drugs that this is a big reason for the increase. But here's the question that we all need to know the answer to. Why is America not up in arms about this? The only person that's really, really up in arms about this is President Trump. He sees the problem. He campaigned on the problem. He said he wanted to do something about it. I know that these families are so devastated. I can't even imagine, Ron, losing one of our children to that problem. And look how many people are. These are people that are loved by other people. These are people that are mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, you know, parents. We need to do something here, but America needs to speak up about this.
Well, it's on many different levels. First of all, what I find interesting about these horrific statistics is that a lot of these people who died and people who are currently addicted to opioids, this started out somewhat innocently with them being injured and them being overprescribed opioid medications, right? It's completely innocent. And there have been, you know, several people that are very prominent people that got addicted to drugs.
Absolutely.
Right? Because absolutely. Prescription medications. And to see it happen like this is just incredible. And again, you know, as you indicated, all the more reason to, you know, shut that border down and to make things just as difficult as it can, as we can, not only to keep illegal aliens out, but drug smugglers from coming into this country. And we really have to work on this China connection with the fentanyl, because that is destroying the United States.
Well, moving on in my potpourri, the number one most liberal UC college is University of Santa Cruz. And at the University of Santa Cruz, there was a professor who used to have been the mayor of Santa Cruz, who assigned his students a project. And the essay is worth 30% of their grades. And that project features a hypothetical scenario with Donald Trump and students for offensive speech. So the students for offensive speech are supposed to be wanting Donald Trump to come and speak. And the assignment is that they have to pretend to be the university's general counsel and advise the chancellor on how to handle the situation, as some people want to block entry to Donald Trump. So this is, again, this is what our kids are learning in college. It's just, it's funny, but it's despicable. And I just think it's so totally wrong.
Linda.
Ron.
As a former Californian and a former university professor, let me put this in perspective for you with regards to UC Santa Cruz. Jeopardy quiz question. Do you know what the mascot for UC Santa Cruz is?
No.
It's the banana slug.
Well, that's suitable.
Okay. All right. And it's the People's Republic of Santa Cruz, just like the People's Republic of Berkeley. Actually, I would have gotten your quiz question wrong because I would have picked Berkeley. Okay. But it's still California. So you just got to put that into perspective. And you know what? Fair to the state of California, I think that could have been anywhere. That could have been New York.
Oh, it could have been anywhere.
That could have been Wisconsin. That could have been anywhere,
yeah,
just
but
about.
The point is how disrespectful our teachers who are teaching our youth are teaching them to be disrespectful to the office of the presidency. And I, for one, don't like that.
Well, you know, then it's really up to the parents to vet these different universities and find out where their kids can get, you know, the best balanced education. And by balance, I mean, you know, political balance, freedom of speech balance, a balance between learning and doing, you know, a lot of stuff like that. And to be quite honest with you, the majority of universities out there just do not provide those balances. And that's why you and I are great proponents of telling people, especially kids that really don't know what, you know, they graduate from high school, really don't know what they want to do. Listen, if you're not affirmed with your program on what you want to be and what degree you want to, you know, have and what you want to be when you grow up, don't go to college.
Yeah, because everybody doesn't need a degree.
Exactly.
Yeah, a degree, you know, is not the be-all and end-all. And we absolutely, especially as much as our economy is booming, we need trades, and we need people who are skilled in trades, and those jobs will never go away.
No, and I'll tell you what, I mean, just look at this household and, you know, the regrets I have that I took pre-med classes and I didn't take, you know, shop and all that other stuff. We have stuff that goes wrong at this house, and I'm lucky if I can hammer a nail in. You know what I mean?
I also regret that.
I mean, I think you're better at fixing stuff than I am. But you know what? If I would have learned a few skills, some carpentry, maybe a little bit of plumbing, some basic electricity.
Don't touch that.
But you know, just some of those, just basic things that really, when I went to high school, they had all those shops. They don't have those shops anymore. But if I would have learned those things, I wouldn't have to spend the money I do bringing people in to do really simple stuff to help us around the house.
But we have to have those people, so we need those people to be well trained.
People just don't need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a college education that gets them absolutely gets them nowhere in the real world.
No. You know, half of getting anywhere, just as an aside, is having common sense and employing it, okay? And a lot of people don't do that to start with. But I got to tell you, I was laughing out loud, just hysterically today, because I read a story about Philip Raines, who was a former top advisor to Hillary Clinton. And he was on Fox as a guest, and he was up against, in a conversation against Harlan Hill, who's a member of the Trump 2020 advisory board. Okay, so you got the Democrat and you got the Republican talking against each other. Well, after their conversation was over, and they were talking about, I think about the GM layoffs and just,
kind of benign things there.
They were talking about, but this guy, Philip Raines, went absolutely nuts when he got off the screen, and they were in the hallways of the Fox News station there. And he was yelling at the Republican guy, Harlan Hill. He was yelling at him and calling him names. And they were back and forth, back and forth. Well, the funny thing that was so absolutely hilarious is that the Democrat guy has his suit jacket and the suit on, but he's got no pants on. And
he's got
like boxer shorts on. So the other guy, I know, it was hilarious. The other guy starts taking out his camera
and taking pictures.
And they're all over the internet of this guy in the hallway with his jacket and his boxer shorts yelling at the other guy. And the people in the hallway are, you know, have big grins on their face. And I guess it was just quite a thing. And he also, apparently this is not the first time he's gone on a TV show with a suit jacket and his underwear.
I think the guy's got an issue.
This is kind of strange, but it's very rare when I read anything on the internet and laugh out loud, but that was hilarious.
Oh, God. Hey, are you ready for a refill?
I am.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, our last cup of tea for the night. You know, I want to talk about something that you and I absolutely love doing, which is going out to eat.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's just so many different kinds of restaurants and so many different ambiances to them and so many different types of food. And, you know, we just really enjoy all of it. And what I enjoy most about a restaurant for myself besides good food, is I enjoy the ambiance of a restaurant. And I enjoy sitting and being able to have a conversation. It kind of is a place where you're not distracted by a lot else. You're looking at each other. You can have a conversation. You know, at home, there's always something to get up and do. But a restaurant, to me, is a very special experience. Over the years, it's become quite different because there's so much noise in restaurants anymore. And you can barely hear yourself talk in almost any restaurant.
I completely agree with you. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because if you were to ask me, what would I like to change in our restaurant dining experience? It's noise. Get rid of the noise.
Well, there was an article that I was reading that I thought was really interesting, and they feel the same way. And they were talking about why this has changed over the years. And, you know, it really has to do with the things that absorb noise, like carpeting, plush seating, heavy curtains, things that absorb sound, low acoustic ceilings, they're all going away. So it's all about the design, how they design restaurants with high ceilings, hard floors, chairs, rather than, you know, upholstered seating, no tablecloths, all the things that absorb noise.
That's
have been taken
yeah.
out.
Okay.
And the decibel ratings in restaurants are really kind of off the charts. They're a lot of them are to the point where, you know, you can get these decibel ratings that are actually almost damaging to your hearing, like your alarm clock and things like that. You get high decibels. Well, a lot of the restaurants I know that we've been in are certainly like that. And it's frustrating because you're having to yell at your person across the table from you. And I don't like that experience. So I'm wondering why the conversation part of a restaurant has now become an afterthought and is not taken into consideration when they're building it. They're building more on design and looks rather than comfort for the diner.
Well, I think there's another issue that I'd like to submit that I think this has a lot to do with, and that is the culture of conversation has changed, and the way that we interact with each other in society has changed. We have people now that are literally glued to their cell phones, and they're text messaging, and they're doing things like this. And when you spend all of your time with your fingers, you know, on the keyboard of the cell phone, rather than talking to somebody, you lose the ability to have a nice, even toned conversation with them. And when the ambient noise level, as you said, because of the poor design, raises the decibel level, then people talk above that noise.
Exactly.
To be heard. Do you agree
yes.
with that? And I think that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, you can go to other restaurants, which are more fine cuisine and expensive restaurants, and you'll find that they are not loud. You will find that people are able to carry on a nice, even-toned conversation. It's almost, you know, a quiet conversation, which I actually enjoy. I like having a conversation like you and I are having tea right now, having our conversation. But I don't like it when I go into a restaurant and I have to yell across the table, because that's not me.
No, I don't like it either. And even the high-end restaurants, you know what we've done? We're kind of mixing the cafe type of restaurant with the high-end restaurant anymore, and it's becoming one. And, you know, I'm trying, just as I sit here, to think of restaurants that have those elements of sound absorption that we go to. And I think one of them is The Grill in Leon Springs in Texas. That it has that old-fashioned seating.
And Bob's Chop House, okay, yeah. Also, you know, at the Rim in San Antonio.
Yeah.
We go to a couple of really nice restaurants. The Grill in Burney, Texas, is the Cypress Grill.
It's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, the sound isn't too bad. But for the most part, it is. And just from my perspective, and my last word is that I really wish that they would go back to making restaurants where we can hear each other speak and have a quiet and relaxing experience instead of one that I feel like I just can't wait to get out of and I have a headache when I leave.
I agree.
Well, Ron, you and I were talking the other day about some Christmas gifts and holiday gifts that were kind of things that they thought would sell out and they were unique and different.
And you wrote down the two that I really liked, right? The HD glasses. And what was the second one that I really liked?
I don't know.
Darn it. I'm going to go to the magazine you were looking at and I'm going to go find it again.
Well, now I'm going to tell you what you should stop giving anymore.
Oh.
Some of the most boring gifts and just don't give them anymore.
Okay. Not that I give out boring gifts, but go ahead.
Well, candles.
Oh, that's not me.
Yeah, nothing says, I don't know anything about you, like giving somebody a candle. So, yeah, that's pretty boring.
Okay.
Lotions.
Not a big lotion giver, Lynn.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because one of my employees, every year she asks for lotion. That's what she wants. She loves lotion. So now I'm going to feel bad if I give it to her, but that's what she wants. But I do agree with that. Lotions are, to me, a very personal thing, and I would rather buy my own.
Yeah, lotions, aftershave. Let me tell you what. I still have aftershave from when I was in high school. Okay, I know it's in a drawer.
You can probably throw that out by now, Ron. And I think in the entire time we've been together, I've ever bought you one bottle of cologne, and I think you still have that. So
I don't think I've ever used any cologne during the time we've been married.
we have the Eau de Naturel.
But I know what you like. Okay, you like those bath balls, right?
Bath bombs.
Yeah, okay.
I love those.
So,
and speaking of those, do not give a spa basket that you just buy off a shelf with
a
all
Costco
kinds of different
spa basket.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and I don't know if it's on the list or not, but I'll just say right now, and don't give a Costco just basket with stuff that nobody's going to eat in it. You know,
yeah.
A lot of that stuff just tastes so stale.
Well, you know what? I'm going to differ in one respect. It really depends on the basket. Because I know 2 or 3 years ago, I gave one of my clients a basket of those pop...
Oh, the popcorn.
What's that called? Good. Popolopolis or whatever? You know, that special popcorn?
Yeah.
And it was in all different kind of flavors and styles. Oh, they went nuts over it. Matter of fact, you know who I gave that to?
I do know who you gave it to.
That was One American News Network.
I do know who you gave it to. Yeah. Okay, well, more boring gifts. So don't give cheap makeup.
Okay.
Which you never do anyway. And you know how sometimes you have funny gag gifts like... what are those things that grow hair out of?
Oh, chia pets.
Chia pet or a pet rock.
Those are
white elephant gifts. Yeah, don't. Yeah, we need some white elephant gifts for our
office party this year.
Notebooks. It says don't give notebooks. It seems like everybody's got too many notebooks. Now, there's nobody in life that has more notebooks than me.
And there's nobody else in life that has as many notebooks as you and can never find one.
I know. Because they're always at the wrong office. You know, they're at the California office when I need one in Texas and vice versa. But I do love notebooks. So this says don't give iTunes gift cards. That's boring. And it's not a warm, you know, I really thought about you kind of gift.
On the other hand, giving out a Bass Pro gift card makes the right statement.
Well, that could be. And you know what? I actually even appreciate Home Depot kind of gift cards because it's something that I always need to have one in my purse now.
You know, don't you remember for the last couple of years, that's what the kids usually give us, right?
Yeah, they give you.
Yes. The Bass Pro.
Yes.
And, oh, I guess it's me, huh?
Yeah, it's you. I get the bath bombs. Yeah. You get the Bass Pro. don't give an animal to somebody for Christmas. You know,
right.
That's something
you don't know
that's
going to end up.
Pretty personal. You need to
very, very
pick
true.
That out
Ask
for
permission.
Yourself. do not give people a self-help book.
I could think of a lot of people I would give different self-help books to.
I might be able to think of that, but that would be kind of not the communication and friendship that I would want to be showing to my friends. Don't give them exercise gear either. To say, hey,
no, that's personal.
Start working out.
No, that's personal.
Getting kind of chubby around the middle
and it's
there.
It's never taken the right way.
No. Nope. It's funny because as I look at these, it just reminds me of my mother and the gifts she always gave me. And I don't know what that woman was thinking.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Okay, now you hit that. Give me an example of a present that your mom gave you.
A toilet plunger. She always was very practical. And then I got a dish that you put, nothing goes on it but like tortillas or taco shells or something that I never made in my life at home.
Yeah.
You know?
The one thing that we don't want is appliances that you use once a year or some cooking instrument that you use once a year.
We have no storage for that. Don't give people professional clothing. That would be like saying...
What's professional clothing?
Like a suit or another tie.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, a leather briefcase or something like that. So don't give them work things for holidays. Although I did just that today for somebody.
Okay, no, wait a minute. So you're telling me not to do something and then you turn around and you do it.
Well, I didn't... It wasn't close.
How am I to take this?
It was not close. DVDs. Don't give people DVDs because, you know, first of all, they're kind of going away.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are
and
using
secondly,
DVDs
secondly, you don't
now.
Know whether they actually could care less about the kind of DVD that you're giving them, right? So you'd go pick me out like a war movie and I wouldn't want to watch it.
I would never pick you out a war movie because you don't even watch television.
I know. And, okay, so here's an interesting one. Cash. Don't give cash. Unless you have a really good reason to give it out.
Well, because you know, the kids, really you know, says, when the kids were younger and they needed cash, you know, like for college or something like that, we would give them cash. Now, come on, you know that. So, because they need it. You know, they need it for gas or they needed to do this or they needed to do that.
But it's a very impersonal gift. And, you know, that's the issue with the holidays that I have is that sometimes getting a really personal gift is very hard. So it's interesting where it says don't give cash. It says do trips that you both enjoy together.
Okay.
And we already do that.
All right. And that's what I was going to say. Because to us, after all these years and these four kids, what we've learned is that you give memories.
Yes.
Okay? You give opportunities for memories.
Yes. And, you know, one of the boys asked me today what I would like for Christmas. And I said, truly, what I truly would like is I would like some time from you to help me with some things that I can't do myself. And that is truly what I would like. So we'll see if I get what I truly want or I get a thing bought from a store, you know.
You know, the things that I've come to like it are not presents, but they're just statuses. You know, what do I mean by that? I want to be healthy. Okay, that's it. I want health, the gift of health. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be infirmed. I want to be able to enjoy my health, to enjoy my life.
But nobody can give you that but yourself.
The next thing that we've been experiencing since the kids moved out and they got their own house, and just the quiet in you and me and the dog being together. Just the quiet.
Yeah, the quiet
and
the peace.
Coming home after a hard day of work, because I love the fact that you and I work together now in the offices. And just to come home with the dog, make a simple dinner, and just sit down on the couch with the nice Christmas lighting and everything like that. I love that. I want the gift of togetherness. You and me spending time together. I love that.
Well, and those are the important things in life. And that's why what I ask for from the kids is I don't need any physical thing.
There's nothing you and I need.
But give me time. Spend some time with me. You know, that's what I would like. Let's go let's go up to Fredericksburg and look at the Christmas lights, or let's, mm-hmm. you know, spend an evening. And a while back, we spent an evening with all the kids at the Dickens on Main Street little right. fair that they had. And that was just a great night. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's a bigger gift to me than any physical thing that people could give. So another thing to stop giving to people is cleaning supplies.
I don't think I've ever given anybody a cleaning supply.
Or anti-aging products. You know, all these give subliminal messages that probably aren't good. And cutlery, you know, there's some things about giving knives and that type of thing that they say is pretty impersonal.
Oh, wait a second now. For a guy,
no, not
to
cutlery.
Get a knife.
That's different. You're talking about a different kind.
You're talking about cutlery, like in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to disagree with you. If I had a friend of mine that was a really good cook, then I know to get them a really cool, sharp carving knife or filleting knife or something like that. That type of gift is really appreciated, but it's a guy-to-guy type of thing. You know, one guy knows the other guy's a good cook and doing things like that. And then guys, you know, giving each other a knife or some kind of guy thing. That's always appreciated, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. And then just no sweaters, tchotchkes, air fresheners, shapewear, socks. I've gotten socks a zillion times and I never wear socks.
People give you socks?
Yeah, and I don't wear socks. Don't give people a scale or a picture frame. So, you know, I think that these are good suggestions. And don't give them a coffee mug that says mom or dad or, you know, something like that. People should try to be a little bit more creative and thoughtful about their gifts. And I don't know, I'm really happy if somebody honestly gives me like a Starbucks gift card, because now that they have a new president at Starbucks, I'm willing to go back there.
That's right. We did boycott Starbucks for a while. We're going to test out this new Starbucks president, see how he's doing. Well, I think those are good common sense things on what not to give people for Christmas.
And what to give them: time, attention, and love.
I agree.
And speaking of that, let's get to bed and bring our little love, Miss Desi, dog,
all right,
off the couch.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay.